Welcome today to the Caloundra Salvos. Karen is talking about the parable of the forgiving father. Let us now listen to Tim as he brings us the reading, and followed by Karen.
It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. You can follow the reading with the words on the screen, hopefully. There we go. And so, then Jesus said, once there was a father with two sons. The younger son came to his father and said,
Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of the estate that belongs to me?
So the father went ahead and distributed among the two sons their inheritance. Shortly afterward, the younger son packed up all his belongings and travelled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far-off land where he soon wasted all he was given in a binge of extravagant and reckless living. With everything spent and nothing left, he grew hungry, for there was a severe famine in the land. So he begged a farmer in that country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. The son was so famished, he was willing to even eat the slop given to the pigs, because no one would feed him a thing. Humiliated, the son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought,
there are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want and plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back to my father's house and say to him, Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I'll never be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees.
So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming, dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. Then the son said,
Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I could never deserve to be your son. Just let me be.
The father interrupted and said,
Son, you're home now.
Turning to his servants, the father said,
Quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger. And bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he is found.
And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. Now the older son was out working in the field when his brother returned. And as he approached the house, he heard the music of celebration and dancing. So he called over to one of his servants and asked,
What's going on?
The servant replied, It's your younger brother. He's returned home and your father is throwing a party to celebrate his homecoming. The older son became angry and refused to go in to celebrate. So his father came out and pleaded with him.
Come and enjoy the feast with us.
The son said,
Father, listen, how many years have I been working like a slave for you, performing every duty you've asked as a faithful son? And I've never once disobeyed you. But you've never thrown a party for me because of my faithfulness. Never once have you even given me a goat that I could feast on and celebrate with my friends like he's doing now. But look at this son of yours. He comes back after wasting your wealth on prostitutes and reckless living. And here you are throwing a great feast to celebrate for him.
The father said,
My son, you are always with me by my side. Everything I have is yours to enjoy. But it's only right to celebrate like this and be overjoyed because this brother of yours was once dead and gone. But now he is alive and back with us again. He was lost, but now he is found.
May God bless the reading of his word. May our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, and our minds be open to what he has to teach us about the Father's love today.
Thank you to our readers. I particularly wanted today to present something a little bit differently because it's a really familiar story. And when you read a really familiar story over and over, sometimes it's hard to keep listening. So thank you for that. And that was taken from the Passion Translation as well. Now, do you love a good story? Let me tell you, this week I was listening to a story with Armani, little Armani, who's almost two. Now, this is the way Armani was listening to the story. She had her mother's mobile phone. I don't think Jess is here, Jess is out there. And it was called, and you have to ask her this, Pete the Cat. And the story was called I Love My White Shoes. The way we read stories are very different. I mean, here she was like flicking along and it was on YouTube and this electronic story. But however we read a story, whatever the mode or whatever the method, there's always a point in the story. So I want to have a look at some of the background information today and see what it is that Jesus tells us in this parable. Now, Luke is the author of this book of the Bible. It comes from the book of Luke. He describes this time as most likely being in the period weeks before Jesus' death and resurrection. And Jesus is teaching the crowds. Jesus used a lot of parables to tell the people of the day's deep scriptural lessons and really wanted things to be impressed upon their hearts. But like any crowd that was listening, if they could just relate this to something that they knew or something that's familiar, hopefully it would stick in their minds and really hit home. Now, in this chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables. So he talks about the lost sheep, the one lost sheep that goes astray in the 99. Then he talks about the lost coin, where a lady has 10 coins and she loses one valuable coin. And then this story, the story of the lost son, or sometimes we read, and you might remember hearing, the prodigal son. And in the TPT, the Passion Translation, he gives this passage the title, The Loving Father. And many versions do that. They put the focus on the fact that this is about the father. Now we read in the opening verses of this chapter, in the beginning of Luke, that this was a real mixed crowd. It was quite a varied bunch of people that were listening. They write in the Passion, I like this description, dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners. Not just your average sinner, notorious sinners, who often gathered around Jesus. There were also Jesus' disciples and his friends, followers. And then there were Jewish religious leaders and experts of the law. The experts. And it was to these people that Jesus addresses that first parable, the parable of the lost sheep. Then Luke goes on to say, Jesus told them another parable. And our reading today started with, then Jesus said. So these three stories follow along in a series. Now this parable, as I said, is a story of the Father's love. God's love for us is something, and James reminded us in his prayer this morning, is something that's beyond our understanding. How wide, how deep, how high is this love? It's impossible to grasp. This parable aims to give us a bit of an idea anyway, so that we can relate to just how much our Heavenly Father loves us. So there's one father, two sons. The younger son decides that it's his time to go and see the world. Asking for his father's inheritance is something that the Jewish listeners at this time would have been really shocked to hear. The insolence of a son asking his father to give him what would have been his anyway, but to give it to him now, is pretty much like saying, I wish you were dead. And to further emphasise his point about how disgraceful this is, Jesus talks about the son journeying to a far-off land, leaving this house of his parents and his known place, his tribal belongings, his place, and going to this unknown place. Perhaps they were idol-worshipping foreigners in that unknown place. So why is he going there? It's not an ideal plan for a young Jewish man. And then he wasted all he was given in a binge of extravagant and reckless living. Good language, isn't it, that description? So how desperate is this son portrayed in this parable as he sits there amongst the pigs? No food, no money, no hope. It's a pretty miserable picture, isn't it? So my dad's family were dairy farmers for many years, and I can remember the cattle were very important. I was going to throw this, is Jeremy here? This is for you, Jeremy. It was a flock of cattle. Have I heard of cattle? Of course I've heard of cattle. There you go. There's my dad joke for the day. Jeremy said to me last night, look, Mum, there's a flock of cattle. I said, heard of cattle? Yes, I've heard of cattle. So there you go. I've told it twice now, just in case you didn't get it the first one. But my recollection is that these cattle were actually really well loved. They were valued. I think my nana had names for those that lived closest to the farmhouse, the milkers, the ones that she knew by name. And, you know, sometimes when there were empty fields, there were sheep. But there were never pigs. The pigs were not loved by my family. and to Jews, culturally, religiously, even more so. No doubt these God-fearing, law-abiding Jews who were sitting there listening to Jesus tell this parable were getting quite uncomfortable. Perhaps they were starting to break out in a sweat as they heard this get worse and worse. And then there's the older son. I've worked like a slave for you all these years. The good son speaks quite harshly and arrogantly about his father's treatment. He uses those two kind of imperative statements. I always have helped you. I've always been obedient. I always do the right thing. And the other one, you never. So how often do we hear those in an argument, these absolutes? You've never killed the fatted calf for me. You've never thrown me a party and given me your best robe and put shoes on my feet. Both sons needed to know that forgiveness, the acceptance and the love of the father. So the lost son made that decision. He turned around, repented. He needed to know that forgiveness and the acceptance and love of the father. He returned to the father begging for his forgiveness and acknowledging his sin. He says, I don't deserve your forgiveness. I really don't need it. So maybe just employ me. I don't want you to actually forgive me for all of this. But of course, the Father, as God the Father does, shows his love is unconditional. He accepts this younger son back into the family, not because of what he's done or what he hasn't done, but because this young man who's there before him is his son. He accepts him because of who he is. He's the Father. So taken from this interaction with the Father in the parable, I want to give you today five fatherly features. I'll see if I can get this going. I don't know, where do I turn it on? So five, oh, here we go, turn it on. Five fatherly features. Number one, the Heavenly Father never gives up. In the parable, the Father kept watching. He kept a lookout. He was waiting. He saw his son, it says, while he was still a long way off. He saw him there because he was looking out for him. The father didn't give up on his son. Maybe he was tempted to think things like, well, you know, he deserves it after all. If that's the choice he's made, let him make it. But he waited with that expectant and hopeful desire that his son would return. Unlike an earthly father who doesn't know where his child is, doesn't know what he's doing, God does know. God not only knows the actions of the runaway, of the lost son, of us, but he also sees the heart. He knows the thoughts, the motives, and despite the choices that we make or despite our actions, no matter what, he still loves us. 1 Corinthians 13:7, the love chapter, Paul writes, love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful and it endures through every circumstance. God's love does not give up. So today, know this, your Heavenly Father never gives up on you. Our second, what did I call them? I can't remember. Our second of five fatherly features. The Heavenly Father is filled with compassion. The father sees his son and he is overwhelmed. He's filled with his compassion. He looks at him and thinks, oh, my son. His heart breaks. This parable doesn't say that he went and had words with him, had a little wag of the finger to tell him off. It doesn't tell us that he slapped him across the face, which would be quite well deserved and quite culturally appropriate. So he's been shamed by his son. Why wouldn't he slap him? It tells us that he ran to him. He held him, he loved him. Have you seen that response at an airport where people have been separated by a long time or distance and they come in? And it's that greeting, you know, the one that makes you cry just watching it? They're sitting these people and they see each other and they run and they embrace each other. That right there, that feeling, that image, I think that's just a tiny portion of what we could see in compassion and in love. When the father sees the son, it says he ran and embraced him. Now, the Jews would have considered that in their highly dignified culture to be quite inappropriate, very undignified. The patriarch never ran. The patriarch wouldn't make the first move in such a situation. But he did that because he was moved with compassion. Now, Ephesians tells us, Ephesians 2, verse 4, God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ. And he saved us by his wonderful grace. Amen. So today, know this. Your Heavenly Father is filled with compassion for you. Our next feature, the Heavenly Father makes the first move. We must accept God's love for us. Yes, there's an onus upon us to accept that forgiveness. The Son had to make that choice, turn around and return to the Father. But the Heavenly Father has already made that first move for us when he gave his Son. He has already paid the ultimate price to save us. Jesus once and for all died that we might have life. The Heavenly Father opens his hand and waits for reconciliation. Our role is in the returning, the receiving, the repenting. It is God's role that makes the difference. He does the work. The Father ran out to greet the Son in the parable. And while he was still on his way, before the Son could even get to deliver that prepared speech, I like the way it tells us. Now the Son was ready to say, you know, he worked out what he was going to say before he got there. But before he already got to deliver that, the Father had made his move. As I said before, the patriarch would never run, would not make that first move. So you can imagine that standoff. And in many relationships we see that. Well, if something's going to happen here, he's going to have to make the first move. If there's going to be anything here that happens, then it's not up to me. It's up to him. But today, know this. Your Heavenly Father has already made the first move. The Heavenly Father takes us as we are. The Son was filthy. He had nothing, even though his Father had given him what we imagine is quite a lot, all of his inheritance to start with. He had blown the lot. The Father takes him as he is. The older brother, who is also loved by the Father, is likewise accepted just as he is. He says, I've been working like a slave for you for all these years. I've been loyal to you. Now, the Father, we imagine, didn't ask that of his Son. He didn't expect his Son to be loyal, though I'm sure he hoped he would. He didn't hold him captive there and make him work. But the older son's loyalty and his obedience is not the reason for the Father's love for him. The Father loves his Son because he's his Son. It's who he is. He loves him because he's a father. In the parable, Jesus chose to describe this younger son as doing some pretty terrible things. The types of things that this audience, including those highly religious Jewish scholars, would have shuddered at. If you can imagine a modern day retelling of this story, if it was set right now, I'm sure you could perhaps think of some of the things that the wayward son would have done. Maybe you could think of things because they're things you've done. Maybe you've done the things that the lost son would have done that would really break the father's heart. I think we all have. So the good news for us, as we read in Romans 5:8, says this, God demonstrates his love for us. For in this, while we were still sinners, as we were, Christ died for us. So today, know this. Your Heavenly Father accepts you just as you are. Now, in his the Heavenly Father wants to restore to us whatever we've lost. So in his going away, the Son would have lost many things. If you think about what's lost when there's a breakdown in a relationship like this father-son relationship, it's deeper and wider reaching than we probably realise. There's a loss of trust, a loss of intimacy, and that feeling of just being known and belonging is gone. a loss of communication, not to mention the loss of possessions, the loss of his money, things that the son would have had. He went from having everything to having nothing. Have you been in a place where everything is lost? Now, Job had that classic experience. I was saying to Tim, he was the biggest loser. He lost the lot. Through all of his experience of loss, though, Job knew that God was the restorer of all things. He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and I shall have nothing when I die." At the end of the book of Job, we know that he's been restored. And not only restored the things that he lost, but so much more. I believe that God restores relationships. He restores families. Where there is a loss of a family, a loss to us as individuals, of the people in our lives, God gives us a family. As Brittany was saying, Brittany, thanks for that, talking about the families that are here for you who don't have that family. God restores that. And I've had conversations with many of you here who, through death or through other loss, have said, God gives us a family here as part of this church. That's the value of the Christian church, of the wider body. He restores to us our mothers and fathers, our brothers and sisters. He allows us to know that sense of belonging. He gives us that assurance that we're not alone. We have a generous Father. Our Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. He sets that example for us of giving generous gifts to his children. Undeserved gifts, generous favour. And he does that because he loves us. So today, know this. Your Heavenly Father wants to restore to you what you've lost. Our Heavenly Father never gives up. Our Heavenly Father is filled with compassion. He makes the first move and he accepts us just as we are. Our Heavenly Father wants to restore to us all that has been lost. And I pray today that you will know the love that your Heavenly Father has for you. Would you just bow with me and we're going to pray together. Father, your love for us is beyond measure, something we can't ever get a hold on. But I thank you that you do love us. I thank you that despite what happens in our lives, despite where we are, you love us. You have always loved us, and you always will. Lord, help this sink into our hearts today. And as we reflect on you and on your love for us, I pray that you would just speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just going to take a minute or two to respond to that, because that's good news, isn't it? That God loves us, that he's a good Father, that he's generous towards us. But what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Now, often in our services, there's an opportunity to come out and kneel and pray. But today we're going to do something maybe it's a little bit different. I'm just going to ask you to sit where you are, and I'm going to sit with you as well. We're going to watch something in a minute, a song called Good, Good Father. Because maybe there's something that you've heard today. Maybe there's something that's resonated with you. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming, just as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, kissed him over and over with tender love. Maybe you need to hear that God never gives up on you. Because of God's love for you, he never gives up. Maybe you need to hear that because he's such a good God, that is expressed in compassion to you. Maybe you need to hear that you just need to come as you are. In fact, you just need to open your heart to him and he makes the first move. He's already made the first move. He's already waiting, arms open wide. And when you receive that love, because he is a good, generous and loving God, the things that are lost will be restored to you. And the most amazing thing is that you can receive is a restoration of a relationship with your Creator. Because we are made to be in relationship with God. We are made to be in relationship with our good, good Father. So just listen, open your heart. Listen to what God's got to say to you and receive. Receive the love that the good, good Father has for you.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like to know more, our service is on at 10 a.m. at the Caloundra Salvation Army, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain. God bless.